This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
We're thankful to God for His Word. Last week we started looking at faith in the ability of God's Word. Last week I did start talking to you about having faith in the ability of God's Word. And I tried to convey last week the relationship between the Bible, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. And remember I brought to you that word from Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. And the whole concept is that, of course, backing up God's Word is His breath, in Hebrew, which is ruach. It means the same as spirit. And remember I gave you the little test last week. I said if you put your hand in front of here and you say everything that I am saying right now, you would feel, as I feel, my breath pushing out those words that I'm speaking to you. And the breath that is behind the Word of God pushing them out to you is the Spirit of God Himself. And that's why at creation, remember how God created everything? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And so in the beginning, when God created everything, of course He did it by speaking forth His Word. Let there be light, and there was light. But we know that as He spoke forth the Word, everything God's Word spoke that was spoken, that went out of His mouth, was backed up by the power of His Ruach, His Holy Spirit. And that's why in Genesis 1:2 it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. He was already in the earth, ready to bring to pass what God Himself would speak forth. And I'll tell you this too, by the way, that Jesus, before Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth, that was His human name. Jesus was always there as the Son of the Eternal God, the Eternal Son of God. He was all, when He became Jesus of Nazareth, that's just the time when He decided to sort of be transported from heaven, to give up His high throne, and He decided to be transported into the womb of a young virgin called Mary, from which point He became a human being. And you must understand that Jesus was always with God in glory as the great I Am, okay? But He couldn't be both. He couldn't remain with that title and be a human being at the same time. In order for Him to relate with men and women like me and you, He had to give up all that glory and come into the womb of a woman and become just like us. And when you realize that, you begin to appreciate more what Jesus has really done for us, that He would do that. Would you do that if you were Jesus? If you were the Eternal Son of God? Going from conversations that me and Arthur have had together, neither of us would have done that, because, you know, that's just what's in human nature. But God gave up everything He had to become a human being. And so the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. But backing up the Word all the time, the Word without the Holy Spirit is disempowered. Okay? The Word is authority. The Word is authority like the law of New Zealand is authority. But without the police agencies to back up the law is disempowered. Isn't that right? And it's the Spirit of God, which is the power that brings the Word of God to pass. And so you have to understand this in the relationship, that it's not just all me speaking forth positively the Word of God. That's important. But it's also at the same time trusting in the unseen work of the Holy Spirit to back up what you're saying. That's right. And we so much more have to get to know the Holy Spirit more and more, and how we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and get to know Him. And I think last week I taught you that we get to know the Word through study of the Word, but we get to know the Holy Spirit's sensitivity to the Holy Spirit through a prayerful relationship with God. We're connected through prayer. So we must study the Word, we must pray. And this is how we grow up as Christians. This is how we become empowered as Christians more and more. So that's the relationship between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So we'll carry on talking this morning about having faith in the ability of God's word. And I want to talk this morning about preparing the ground so that the word can be effective, okay? And I want to go back to perhaps what was once often preached a passage of scripture, which we haven't heard really for a long time, I don't think. And it's from Mark chapter 4, if you would go there, Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. So in Mark chapter 4, we're going to talk about preparing the ground for the word of God to be effective in our lives. In Mark chapter 4, verse 2, we read in verse 2, Jesus taught them many things in parables, with stories. And in his teaching he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. That's not where the seed's meant to fall either, is it? Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as what was sown. And then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. And that's what he's saying to us this morning. I know you've got ears. I can see them. Some I can see more than others. But I know you've got ears, so does God. But use those ears to listen today. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, okay? Because there's four grounds. Isn't there four grounds the seed can fall on? Yeah. First of all, it can fall along the pathway. It's not meant to fall along the pathway, it's meant to be in the garden, but it can fall along the pathway. Secondly, it can fall in the shallow ground where it's rocky, shallow ground. It can also fall among the thorns. And the fourth type is it can fall where? On good soil. This is good soil, cultivated, fertile soil that's going to strike and do something. And then Jesus gives the explanation to this parable, and he gives it in verse 13. And we read, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. So the seed in our lives coming to us is the word of God. The Bible, the word is seed being sown into your heart. Just remember that. The word this morning is seed being sown into your heart. It's seed. So the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away that word that was sown in them. Just let me talk a little bit about this path. The seed wasn't supposed to be on the path. And the Bible says that we should not stand in the pathway of sinners. In the pathway. If you haven't learned as a Christian by now to separate yourself from some of the pathways that lead you astray, that word is not going to be productive in your life. Some of us have to close off some of those pathways, Arthur. Don't walk down that track. You've been down there before. It's a well-trampled track. Lots of people walk down that way. But it will mean that the word will have less effect in your life if you keep walking that way. Psalm 1 is a great psalm, isn't it? Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the pathway of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the seed of God's word. And in it he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that produces fruit in season and out of season. Not so the wicked, the Lord says. But it is for the righteous. So we're really talking about separation and sanctification. If you want God's word to be effective in your life, you know as well as I do, church, that separation to God, when we sanctify ourselves by separating ourselves from some stuff, does that empower us or disempower us in our Christian walk? It empowers us. I know that. You may be struggling with something right now. Maybe you're one of these guys toddling off to the nightclub on a Saturday night, Friday night, drinking, when you think no one at church can see you. God can see you. He might have told me to say this right now to you. But that's going to disempower you in your walk. If you want to know the power of the Holy Spirit, give up the partying, the marijuana, amen, whatever it is you're doing. It's a pathway to hell. But it's more than that. It's going to rob you of the power that is yours in Jesus Christ. And the devil sends all these ways of the flesh to us to rob us and disempower us. Then we're no longer empowered for ourselves, and let alone empowered to help other people. Separation, sanctification, it means the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay, so we're not standing in the pathway of sinners. That's where the seed fell for those guys. They were in the wrong place. The path is to walk on. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and he takes away the word that was sown in them. That's right. If you're at church today and you're going to the nightclub tonight, everything I say to you is going to be irrelevant tomorrow morning. The devil's going to steal it. It's not open on Sunday. The devil's going to come and steal it out of your heart. The word that could have brought you your healing or your salvation today, it could have brought you your deliverance. It could have brought you that answer, that word of wisdom for your family situation. By tomorrow, it could be robbed if you do something stupid this afternoon. And then the other sort of ground is this one in verse 16. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, say no root. No root. They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, because of that word of God, that Bible, it's an old wives' tale. It's a fable. Do you really believe that stuff? Do you really believe in Adam and Eve and Noah's Ark and all that other rubbish? This is called persecution because of what you believe. It's the persecution of the word. You've got to learn to answer people when they say that to you. Yes, I do believe in it. And yes, I do believe it talks about heaven and hell, and that's where you're going if you don't believe it too. So this is, but since they have no root, this is the rocky places, the hard places. They last only a short time. Remember, it's because they're shallow. They're in shallow soil, and there's no real depth to their relationship with God, no depth to their Christian faith. These are shallow Christians. If you just came to the Lord in the last few months, that's okay. You may feel as if you're shallow with no real root. Well, stay where you are. Stay planted in the ground. And put your roots down, you know. And you will grow deeper. I made a conscious decision. I'm not going to understand a lot of this at the moment, but what I do understand, I'll take hold of. And I did. I started typing out on the old tap, tap, tap typewriter, the one with the yellow plastic cover, my little cards of memory verses in my first year as a Christian. Words in King James. What I could understand, I took hold of and I grew by it. And as you do that, if you're faithful with the little you know, you will grow to know a lot more. And you shall put your roots down and grow stronger and stronger. Okay? But you've got to stick with the program. It is the turning over of this ground, removing the hard places from this ground. And you know how you turn over your ground so it's not hard? You know before the farmer goes out to sow that he has to get... And if you did it in the old days with your dad out there in the garden like me, we never liked the idea of going and digging up the garden because that's how you had to prepare the ground to sow the seed. The seed won't grow in the hard ground. You've got to remove the rocks, but also just loosen it up, and it's hard work down there, toiling over the soil, you know. But it has to be done. And you know how you turn over your soil? You're turning over the soil. You're making it ready for the seed to be planted in you through the study of God's word, that prayerful relationship with God, that intimacy with God, so that when I'm talking to you as a Christian, you're talking to me, behind you is something much deeper than my relationship with you. It's because you have a relationship with God and you know it. Turning over the soil, preparing the ground through study of the word, through prayer, through meditation, through fellowship. You come to church Sunday after Sunday. You come out to prayer meeting Tuesday after Tuesday. What are you doing? You're turning over the ground. Your heart's being prepared to receive the word so it can take root in you. And it can produce a harvest of righteousness and empowerment unto you. And the scripture I would probably relate at this stage, and don't turn to it, but I'll read it to you, is Hosea chapter 10. and verse 12 about this shallow ground. This is the answer to the shallow grounded Christian who feels as if he has no depth. You need to do something about that. Remain, be faithful to your Christian duties and commitments. But the Bible says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. In other words, part of that unplowed ground is get back into prayer. Get back into daily prayer. Don't be so lazy and slack. Don't you love God? Don't you know He's the answer?
Amen.
Then pray to Him. Talk to Him. Amen. Heavily rely on Him and trust in Him.
Amen.
And that's built with a daily relationship and prayer. So sow for yourselves righteousness. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Until He comes and showers righteousness on you. And then He said to the children of Israel, but you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength. So part of plowing this ground up is this relationship we're supposed to have with God. And again, I say this really, another bit of advice I would have for you, particularly if you're starting out in the Lord, really, for new Christians, start a daily devotional relationship with God by praying each day, but don't try to swallow the whole apple at once. You don't have to pray for a whole hour every day if you've just come to the Lord, and maybe that's hard for a lot of mature Christians too, but do keep a faithful relationship with God going day after day. And it's up to you to decide how much time that is. Because I realize there is no answer. We walk by faith. You know, 10 words prayed in faith is better than 10,000. To try and be justified, that's a tick. 31st of March, I prayed for half an hour. Tick beside my name. You've got no reward in heaven because you're not praying in faith. So that's the unplowed ground. Okay, let's break up a fallow ground. And then there is this other one, though, the other ground. So, you know, we've talked about the pathway, wrong place to be in the path of sinners. We've talked about the shallow places. Let's get deep in our relationship with God. And then we have still other seed, still others like seed sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's a biggie. That is a biggie, because who wants the word of God to be effective in their lives?
Amen.
We want God's word to have root. We want to be His word to have be a fruit in us, because when His word bears fruit, it brings life, doesn't it? His word brings healing and salvation. It brings guidance. It brings victory. His word, that's what it does. It brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It brings faith, victory. But these are the things that can stop that word being effective in those ways. The worries of this life. But what the worries of this life can rob the effectiveness of God's seed. Who doesn't know what it means to worry? Who's an expert at worrying? Just Margaret over there. A few others. It's probably one of our basic enemies is worry. It's concern. What is worry? It's probably worry is probably exaggerated concern.
Anxiety.
And exaggerated anxiety. That's probably what it is, you know. In fact, a guy once had a visitation from an angel in the angel book, and the angel said to the man, he showed him a chart. And he did something like this. He said, what do you see in front of you way back here? I said, I see a bit of paper. In this case, it's a Bible. And then he put the thing right up to his face. He said, what do you see now? He said, oh, well, I see nothing but the Bible now. I see nothing but the page. But back here, he could see the page in perspective to everything else around it. And that's what worry does. If it's not dealt with, if we don't learn how to cast all our anxieties upon God, through prayer and supplication to God with thanksgiving, then what started out at 9 o'clock in the morning is just a little worry. If it's not dealt with, it could become like this, and all we can see is it, and now we're paranoid. Now they're going to put me in jail for not paying the parable. We're paranoid because that's all we can see. So we've got to deal with the worries of this life. They'll rob the word from being effective. And the desires of other things, watch out for this one, church. The desires of other things, they come. The world today is full of other desires. In fact, I would say that the strategy of the devil behind everything we see in the world, we have so much good stuff. And Mum's Day, they just had milky chocolate. That was your treat, wasn't it, Mum? And going to the pictures, that was the big deal for them. And when we come along, there was milky bar chocolate, going to the pictures, and crunchy bars, right? And even the pinky bars Dad was selling in his garage way back in the 60s. But today, who's confused by all the choices out there? You wish people would make it simple and just have three things you can select from, but you've got so many things. Because human beings, they have this insatiable appetite not to be satisfied. And we have to watch out. That's the strategy of the devil, to keep us distracted from what's really important by all these other things which may not be so important, and they're not. I still eat crunchy bars, Moro bars. Had a Magnum last night. But I believe I know my priorities. I know the greatest desire in my life is truly to know what God wants me to do and to be doing it. I've learned that. What you want, Lord? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Let me do it, because if I'm not doing it, I... Okay, the safest place in the world to be is in God's will for your life. Amen. For Daniel, it was the lion's den. That doesn't make sense, doesn't matter. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the safest place in the world for them was where? In the fiery furnace, because that's where the king was. That's where the Savior was. Desires for other things. And what do they do, church? They choke the word of God. That's what it's going to do to you. If you don't get over these worries and learn how to handle worry and anxiety and take it to the Lord in prayer, and if you're going to be totally distracted by all these desires for other things, it's going to choke the fruitfulness of the word of God in your life. Okay, you've got to handle that. And of course, the last soil is the good soil. Amen. This is the good ground heart. It is not in the path of sinners. Okay? It's not shallow. It's got some depth to it. It's turning over its ground. It's teachable. It can be taught some things, you know? If we got some wrong ideas, we need to put the shovel in there and dig it out and turn it all over. And it's dealt with the thorn bushes. The thorn bushes. The choke the word, the worries, the desires, the thorn bushes, because they're there to choke the word. And you know, you can cut a thorn bush off at the head there, and she can grow back again. You just keep dealing with it. Keep dealing with it. Keep dealing with it until God gives you some spiritual roundup to put on that thing to completely kill it at the root. So the good ground heart, okay? So here is a good ground heart. Let me remind you, it's not in the pathway of sinners. It's turning over its ground and removing the hard places. It's removing the thorn bushes and being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Start thinking differently. How do I do that? Think according to what God has to say. Think according to the word. Through the washing of the water of God's word, it will flush out that crap out of your head so that you can think the way you're supposed to think. That's the word of God. You must read it, study it, and love it, okay? Let me tell you something else about a good ground heart, and we find that in James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. See, there goes the sanctification and separation I talked to you about. Let's deal with the sanctification, the separation. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in our society, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. That's sozo. That's the Greek word sozo, which means it can save you. It also means it can heal you. It can deliver you and set you free. It can preserve and protect you. And it can provide for you. That's what that word humbly received can do for you. That's that man planted by the water who's prospering, doesn't wither. But it's a separation. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly means you're teachable. I'm ready to receive this word today. I need to learn some stuff. I'm not yet what God really intended me to fully be. So I'm still learning. And I have to learn. And the other thing I would like to say in finishing this morning would be found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Now I'll read it from the King James verse, which says, "Preach the word." And that word preach, actually, I don't usually like going into Greek words because I'm not good at Greek. But I did discover and study the meaning of this Greek word. Preach is kerusso. It means to be a herald. To officiate as a herald. A herald is someone who's out to proclaim to the town some important news. That's a herald. It means to be listened to, obeyed. It means to proclaim openly. Doesn't this sound like preach sounds actually like proclaiming the word? Not just when I'm preaching to others, but when I'm proclaiming the word of God, giving voice to what's written in front of you. That's what this word means. But notice it says, preach or proclaim the word, be instant, in season, out of season. The NIV says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. So you put that into not just the preaching to others, but the proclamation of the word of God in your lives. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. I'm far from oppression. I don't have this depression. I'm far from oppression, not fearing. It's proclaiming the word in season and out of season. When you feel like it, and when you don't feel like it. And you know why you preach and proclaim the word in season and out of season? Because if it's not the season for reaping, it is certainly the season for sowing. And if you sow, you shall reap. So this is all part of the good ground heart. It's humbly receive the word, but then give proclamation to it as well. Okay? And just on that note, we'll finish. What I got up here, we're rounding it off now, I promise. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We read, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Therefore, with the same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak." You know, when you're giving proclamation to the word of God, "I believed, therefore I spoke," you're actually enabling the spirit of faith to take root in your lives. Okay? And you know, there's someone who had the spirit of faith in the Bible? He was a guy who, against all the bad reports, decided he would go with the good report of what God had promised in his word. What's his name? What would his name be? There are actually two of them. Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says of Caleb, the reason why he succeeded in what he did, he had a different spirit than the others. They had a spirit of unbelief. He had a spirit of faith. And so part of allowing the Word of God to do everything in your life it's supposed to do is learning to make proclamation in season and out of season of the Word of God, whether you feel like it or not, that's in season or out of season. Because if that's done, it will be the spirit of faith that is backing up your words. And eventually you will reap if you do not give up. Amen. And the people said, amen. Amen. So we're finishing off there. We've been talking today about having faith in the ability of God's word. And today we've been talking about preparing the ground of the word for the word of God to be effective in your life and my life. It's the parable of the sower, okay? I hope you've learned some things this morning. Or at least been encouraged in one or two areas. Amen.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.